Hey there. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast. I am so glad you're here. This show is for leaders who care. Leaders who know that when things get messy, the way we communicate makes all the difference. Every week, I sit down with incredible guests, founders, VPs, rising stars, to unpack real moments of today where communication matters. We talk about what works, what doesn't, and how you can lead conversations that create trust, movement, and momentum. Because in uncertain times like today, your words have weight. Let's use them well. Let's dive in. Today's guest is someone whose story redefines resilience and leadership. Riley A. Grupo is a U.S. Army veteran, former infantry qualified officer, and public affairs company commander, who spent nearly a decade breaking barriers in a branch just newly opened to women. Her journey has taken her from surviving to systematic changes to transforming those experiences into purpose-driven leadership. After facing trauma and loss of her military identity, Riley emerged with a mission to help others turn survival into strength. Now she's a speaker, founder of Riley Evelina. She's building a movement that empowers teams and rebuilds trust to lead with empathy. In this episode, we're going to explore what it means to communicate, to do something when things just don't go right, to avoid burnout, and how leaders can create a culture where people don't just endure. They heal, they grow, and they're making a positive difference. Please welcome Riley Grupo. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we have leaders who care and know that when it matters most, communication will make a difference. Today, I have an amazing trailblazing leader, Riley. We're going to dive into how to turn any survival or burnout into strength, power, and purpose. This is going to be an amazing episode. Thank you so much, Riley, for being here.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, you are doing amazing things right now with clients, and you are a U.S. veteran. You've come so far, and yet you have an amazing story that didn't always start off with strength and power. So can you share with our audience what that is?
Yes. So the most important aspect of my story relating to our topic of mental health is when I had to leave the Army. So I had gone through life having to reinvent myself so many times, whether it was joining the military in an all-male branch, which was newly open to women, and trailblazing, as you mentioned. I didn't have a manual. I didn't have a handbook, as many as of us do in new chapters of life. And so going throughout my military career, and oftentimes this happens with people in the military and military families, having to move every 2 years, having to have a new community every 2 years, create new friends, meet new coworkers, take on a new identity in those roles. But what really hit me and what I want to share with everyone is when I left the military, I was medically retired. And that was a very hard pill to swallow. You don't know what you don't know. And there's such a stigma around seeing mental health resources, going to therapy in the military and maybe in general in our world, that it's kind of frowned upon. And the stigma itself in the military is, oh, it's a career ender. Your career is going to be ended. And my story specifically ended in separation from the military, but it doesn't have to be that way. The reason I ended up seeking mental health resources was because I just was going, and we're often taught mission first, just, you know, no matter what, the mission is first. And to me, my mission was, you know, my soldiers and my job and making sure their health and welfare was at the forefront of my mind, and were executing training correctly and to standard and things like that in a safe and secure environment. So always putting all of that in front of me and never worrying about myself as a leader, until I physically could not ignore the fact that, I was having physiological responses to an abusive past that I had experienced that involved sexual assault and harassment, just riddled throughout my military career, but more specifically with a relationship I had experienced with another service member. And so that affected me so deeply. My leader at the time, my commander, eventually empowered me to go seek mental health resources. And I did. And I didn't realize how bad it truly was until we started peeling back the layers and trying to figure out, what makes us tick, which I think is so important in general for people to determine in life, because we all go through certain traumas and there's no comparison to what one person might have experienced compared to someone else. And so it kind of goes back to that. If, you and I, Melinda, we're in a pool swimming and we're in the deep end, we're tossed in, and you know how to swim perfectly, but I don't. Who's that going to be traumatic for, right? So, having gone through mental health treatment for an extensive period, I would say, months on months, and eventually coming to the conclusion that one, the military no longer aligned with my purpose. Having experienced what I had experienced, it kind of left a sour taste in my mouth, and it affected me so deeply in a negative way that, unfortunately, just being in that environment was very difficult for me. But that is what eventually led to medical retirement. The Army said, you know what, you're not fit for duty. You have PTSD that's so severe that you should probably not be in this environment anymore. And I said, okay. And so on my way out, I made it a point to educate my soldiers. I had about 200 soldiers at the time that were I was responsible for. And so sharing my testimony to them and sharing with them that, hey, you're not alone, because one of the biggest things that's out there is, people thinking they're alone in their trauma and what they've been through and just carrying so much maybe shame or guilt around that. Healing through that is so important. And then knowing that you're not the only person going through this, and there are resources out there if you are and you need to heal. That was so important to me, because coming from a leader, you oftentimes look at your leaders like, hey, they've probably got this all figured out. That's why they're so successful. They've got it all figured out. But oftentimes high achievers have been through some serious things in life, some serious trauma. And I shouldn't say serious trauma, but trauma in general is serious. Acknowledging that and then sharing that, and now it's my mission to share that with the world. And I think when you're able to share your testimony is a true reveal of, how healed you are at a certain point. And so I hope that for everyone. I wish that for everyone, because like I mentioned, it's so important to one, figure out, why am I reacting a certain way, maybe negatively, or why am I emotionally unwell in this certain situation? And two, working through that, and then ultimately figuring out, okay, what aligns with me? What is my purpose here? And so again, that's what I encouraged my soldiers to do, backed it up with factual information. And now that's something I'm sharing, because I think it parallels well with life in general, and especially working in a job. If it doesn't misalign, if you feel burnt out, if you don't feel appreciated as an employee, it's really difficult to be fulfilled.
Yeah, no, I really am so inspired by your courage. Like you said, you healed, and then also you shared your story with with the people, your staff, the people underneath you as a leader. So to be vulnerable, to be courageous, to go through the healing process, to say something, to share your resources with them, that is so inspiring. And it
Thank
did strike a chord with me. A parallel here, especially with people like you mentioned in the work environment. And that is that a lot of people are at work, 80% of people are unhappy. I think that's somewhere the statistics. And yet people keep going. They're like, I gotta keep going. I gotta pay the bills. And just like what you did, you just gotta keep going. And then you don't really pay attention to all the red flags.
100%.
Right? And so when is it that you start to pay to the red flags that before it's like, why am I reacting this way? There has to be a reason. And then what we just try to bury it because it's a stigma. Or we don't want to lose our job. We don't want to, because we're a high performer and we're supposed to perform well and people expect that of us. And so there could be a huge problem. I think there is a huge problem. And then people are not talking about it. So thank you so much for bringing that story.
Of course, Melinda. Yes, I completely agree, and I think it's maybe difficult to recognize. And I can speak from my personal experience when you're just going, and maybe you think all this therapy stuff is hokey, or that's not I don't need that, or whatever the case is. It's similar to if you want to get fit, if you want to get into have your fitness journey and glow up, and it's like, okay, well, you got to do the things, you got to and you can boil it down to a science, like your meals, your macronutrients, and then you can schedule out your fitness. But I mean, the biggest thing is you have to be consistent with it. And I think it's the same with your mental health. Like, you're healing your body physically with the fitness realm, but you got to heal your mind, the most important thing that keeps your body going, through mental health resources and therapy. And so being able to recognize what makes yourself tick, and then as a leader, being able to recognize what makes your people tick is so important, because that's what makes for a successful and healthy team, I think. The synergy, it makes the synergy so much better within the organization, and empowering your subordinates, of course, to go do those things. And then as a leader, showing that you're human and vulnerable, like we're talking about, vulnerability is such a scary thing, but it is the most courageous thing you can do, as an individual, and I think especially as a leader, to put yourself out there for your subordinates to see, hey, my extremely successful boss, or what, however you picture your boss, is also human. Maybe you hate your boss, and it's like, well, hey, your boss shares with you, I just lost someone very important to me a year ago. I'm still navigating that. I'm still human, but I'm going to show up for you guys every day, and I'm going to tell you, this is what worked for me, if you're experiencing something similar. But more importantly, you're not alone in that. And I think that helps build rapport and confidence in your team, for you as a leader.
I agree. Yeah, because it is a stigma for a leader to show up like that. Like, I'm having some problems. I need some support, or like you don't have it all together, and to be vulnerable like that, I think it is challenging. But then it's so necessary because as a leader, we have such a ripple effect. Otherwise, it could play out somewhere else, right? You can start to lash out unintentionally, and then the divide and the trust that you break because of that, because we're not addressing our own mental health because we feel like we have to keep going and pretend everything is okay.
100%.
Yeah, so and then like you mentioned mental health, like before it's important to just like we brush our teeth, take care of ourselves, go to the gym. Let's go to again get the resources that we need before it gets to the point where it's too late.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In a perfect world, after high school, instead of going into employment, we would all go into like a little Star Trek, maybe therapy world, and heal for about a year and then go on into the world, because you just see that like generational trauma everywhere. And,
You know, this last week I went to Hawaii and I thought, oh, I did feel guilty. I said, why am I in Hawaii? I have XYZ things to do. And because my mom, I'm in a generation, a line of workers, right? Hard. Even, she had restaurants and she never shut down. The only day that was a holiday was Chinese New Year. But Christmas, Thanksgiving, that was the most profitable. They're not closing. So who am I to go on vacation And then, but I set an intention to read this book called Architecture of Abundance. She's a mother of Sheryl Crow. She was the manager of Sheryl Crow, which is a big singer, right? And I was just in the being of it. And one of the chapters is creating space around the importance of creating space for magic, for things to happen. So I did that because it wasn't like I was not working leading up to Hawaii. I was working, working, working. But so the went to Hawaii, read the book, and as soon as I came back, I had a client call me and say, "Hey, I know that we're in contract for $8,000, but then is it okay if I send you 15,000 and you don't have to work till January because we're all going on holiday? So I'm just going to send you the money right now." I was
Nice.
like, "Let me think about it," and then she laughed. She goes, "I knew you'd be happy." So I just like, for me, that was not just being lazy, but I think it was like the importance of adding space, like you mentioned, the you know, to be still, to heal, to grow. And then sometimes you have an inflection. Sometimes you have more momentum afterwards. You'll
Yes.
find that you do.
Yes, and you show up better for yourself. You
Yes.
show up better for your organization. It's a win-win all around. That was something too, Melinda, I learned recently was to slow down, to have intentional mornings. Because if you start your day, I'm so guilty of this. Start your day right off the bat, going, 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 gotta hurry, gotta rush, rush through the shower, rush through getting ready, all this stuff. And now you're in that mindset the rest of the day. And what kind of stress does that put on you? That's a lot of stress. So,
A
like,
lot
being
of stress.
intentional, take it purposefully, maybe waking up a little bit earlier to be able to drink my coffee and read a book or journal or whatever it is that can get your mind right for the day. It's so important. It's so healing being intentional about your time and not just rushing through it, because it does have an impact on you physically and mentally. And then that impacts how you show up for others, including your organization.
I agree. And what about the people that have done the work, they go to therapy or they're still unhappy? Like there's something that is nagging inside of them. What do
Yes, that was me. That
you think?
was me. I've been there and I see it often. And what it really boils down to is they are not in alignment with their assignment. They are not following their purpose. That's part of what I do now, is help people, find their purpose through their personal power. And that's why I think it's so important to have those assessments, like personality assessments, basically DISC assessment, Myers-Briggs, similar. There's one that I have that I love called the Purpose Factor Assessment, but it just really dives deep into what makes you tick as a person, and then outlines, okay, here's how you communicate, here's how you don't communicate, here are your strengths, here are your weaknesses. And oftentimes people just go into a job because it pays well, or it's a secure, they have healthcare and a secure paycheck through it, not really thinking about what is it that I really want to do. Like a lot of people you see, they go to school for a certain thing and they end up hating the thing, but now they've spent so much money and so much time on this thing that they feel obligated to continue pursuing this path that doesn't align with who they are. And so that happened to me in the military. Maybe it aligned for a little while and I grew into a who I am truly meant to be, and that is, of course, to help others in a certain way, which is what I'm doing now. But a lot of people, you see it, they stay there because they've been there, and this applies to all aspects of life, not just a job, like relationships as well. They stay there because they've invested so much time or so much money, resources, things like that. But ultimately, what it boils down to, the unhappiness, the unfulfillment, is not recognizing what makes you as an individual tick and how you can apply that to be fulfilled in your life. I think it's so important.
How did you actually know? Like, how did you actually, was there a sense of what were the red flags for you?
Yeah, so I think I guess back to your question, like somebody who's gone through they've done the work, they've done the healing. One, I quickly realized after I left the military, I'm like, oh, I'm healed, I'm good. I stepped away from therapy and I said, I don't need this anymore. I'm healed, you know? But like I said, it's a routine thing. It's a lifestyle. You got to keep it up. So I quickly realized I need to get back to that. So getting back to that and then went to one organization and in corporate world, and I'm like, okay, I can do this. Was fulfilling for a little while until it wasn't anymore. And so I left that organization for a new opportunity that seemed perfect on paper. I mean, everything just wonderful on paper, great opportunity for the corporate world. And I'm working it, I'm giving it my all, and I'm like, why am I doing this? You know, rushing through the morning, stressing, like putting my all into this job, this role that just it wasn't aligning with who I am. There were
So
two.
it was like something was saying it's not aligning. You had a voice.
I was physically ill.
Okay, that was okay. That was it. Okay, you're physically ill. That's a good sign.
I was like, I'm doing all the things. Like I moved, I changed my environment. I got rid of, negative relationships that didn't align with this new chapter of my life and this
Got
growth
it.
that I've experienced. And like, I have this great job and something's still not right. I'm still so unfulfilled. And so how empowering it was when I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I've always wanted to just start my own thing and help people in, whatever that looks like. For now, it's coaching, and of course speaking and being a voice on the digital platforms. But just realizing I've always wanted to help people in that way. And so I'm going to go full tilt and see what happens. What's the worst could happen? I fail. I'll probably learn a ton on the way.
I don't believe that when you're on purpose that you will fail. Yes, you will fail in terms of for extension to grow to, but ultimately you will feel more fulfilled, even when you're failing. And
100%. 100%.
you'll see that every single time you fail, it's going to be an expansion, another a next level. And so, kudos to you and congratulations for finally living your purpose. It does
Thank
take
you.
a huge, amount of strength and faith and stepping forward. But I think ultimately, I think more people need to live on purpose and in their passion and have more meaning in life. And that includes also founders too, when they're running their business. If I think they think about, what's the next thing that can make money, and then at the end of the day, they realize like, what is this all for? Right. If there's no intention about like how am I being fulfilled with it? So hopefully they'll listen to themselves too about, setting more intention of whether their business and the company that they're leading has that meaning and purpose.
100%. I totally agree. Yeah, and that was something like and again, it took me years to realize as a leader, my people would do better if one, I empowered them, but two, knew how to empower them. So, and that's why back then I did the DISC assessment, just a simple, free, easy one. But it was so telling because I would see some of my subordinates like, oh, so and so does this, and I don't like how they do this, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. Well, let's figure out why we're acting this way. Let's figure out how so and so actually receives communication and communicates, because it's probably not personal. It's probably nothing personal. It's just who they are and how they operate. And let's figure out how we can operate together, knowing each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Learning to seek to understand and to be understood.
100%, yes.
Riley, thank you so much. That was such a fun conversation. And I want to ask one more question. So, what is a golden takeaway that you want the leaders to remember?
Golden takeaway, I guess I could have three major takeaways if you are in an impactful position, especially as a leader. One, be human. Two, communicate. Or every organization I've been in, communication has been the biggest downfall. So having that early and often communication and as transparent as you can be, without negatively affecting the success, of the organization and yourself and the integrity of you and your people and things like that, but being as transparent as you possibly can early and often. And then also knowing how your team operates, what makes them tick, placing them into positions where they will be empowered to do what it is that they're actually very good at and excited to be good at. And rearranging as often as needed, within reason, the structure of the organization, maybe people in certain positions, because that's something we have the ability to do as leaders is say, hey, so and so, I know we just put you in this position, but what do you think about this? Maybe give this a shot for a little bit, and having that flexibility as well, and just being a overall a vulnerable, human, empathetic leader, and trying to figure out, okay, how can I serve my organization? Because when your organization knows that you have their back and their best interest at heart, they're going to perform much better.
Love it. Thank you so much. Those are great takeaways. And how can a leader get a hold of you if they would like some support?
Yes, thank you, Melinda. So I'm on LinkedIn. If you just search my name, Riley Grupo, I'll pop up. Same with Instagram. I'm on Instagram. Same, you can search my name, Riley Grupo. It'll pop up. So those are two avenues. My messages are always open. I have, a link to book a call if you'd like to do that as well. And yeah, I'm always here for support.
Love it. Riley, you're amazing. Reach out to her, move away from survival and move into strength and impact. And so, thank you so much, audience, also for being here. I trust that you got your takeaway. And remember, anytime you have a chance to communicate, you are also connecting and making a positive difference in the world. Much love. Thank you so much. Take care. Thanks for tuning in today. If this conversation sparks something for you, if you're thinking, we talk a lot in our organization and things still fall through the cracks, we're not getting the results that we want, I've got something for you that might help. It's called the Accountability Self-Assessment, and it takes less than 60 seconds. In one quick review, you'll get real insights as to why accountability and results are slipping on your team. And you'll walk away with a legacy accountability card. It's a simple one-pager framework to help you and your team move talk to traction. Because the legacy of you and your team is built more than just meetings. It's built on clarity, consistency, and follow-through. So grab it today. Go to speakandflow.com or click on the link in the show notes. It's free, fast, and built for busy leaders like you. See you next time. Until then, keep communicating with impact and momentum.